The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. If your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine. And most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
You have tuned in to Energy, Medicine, and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. Energy medicine is a method of working with the body's energy systems to help create balance for optimal health and wellness. Remember, everything is energy, and energy is everywhere. Energies control how you feel, what you think, and how you live. Energy is all there is. The topic today is emotional transformation therapy. Change your brain, change your life, live radiantly. Emotional Transformation Therapy, or ETT, a new psychotherapy heals the brain at the speed of light. It is based on a new paradigm in healing, biophysics. This is a major departure from the biochemical era, which relies on pharmaceuticals. Instead of viewing disturbance as a biochemical imbalance, ETT focuses on human rhythms, like brainwaves, being out of resonance. It utilizes light as color entering the eyes at specific levels of saturation and angles, as well as eye movements and flicker rates that entrain the brain to specific desired brainwaves. In therapeutic communication, ETT is based on the latest research on the role of early childhood attachment patterns and brain development, as well as the role of relationships in brain and body health. ETT has fewer adverse effects, provides more rapid and lasting positive change, and is less costly. Its efficacy has been proven with brain spec scans at the prestigious Amen Clinic. I am so happy and honored to have Sarah Owen with me today to talk about emotional transformation therapy. Sarah is an MS and LPC and spent the last 3 decades discovering the fastest, gentlest, and most effective healing therapies. She is a psychotherapist by training and has always incorporated other methods in her work. She began with therapeutic touch and Hakomi therapy in the 1980s. And during the 1990s, she studied quantum psychology and then plunged into the world of Eden Energy Medicine. Sarah is one of the founding faculty of Donna Eden's Energy Medicine Institute. And now, as a senior faculty, she mentors many advanced students. Sarah discovered emotional transformation therapy when a physician friend recommended an article in a holistic medical journal by Stephen Vasquez, PhD. With specific insight from this article, Sarah intuited that ETT would work in situations and with people where many other methods had failed. Sarah now uses a unique blend of ETT, the therapy that changes the brain and heals at the speed of light, and other methods in her practice in Dallas, Texas. And you can learn more about Sarah at her website, www.energymattersnow.com. That's www.energymattersnow.net. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you, Anne. Good to be here.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you here. Now, I always start this question because I think it's very interesting how each of us discovered Eden Energy Medicine. So how did you discover Eden Energy Medicine?
Well, it was really right at my doorstep. I lived in Ashland, Oregon for almost 30 years, and Donna and David moved to Ashland, Oregon, which at that time was a town of 14,000. It's not a whole lot bigger now. And believe me, in a town of 14,000 people, you could not miss Donna Eden.
I'm sure you couldn't. Yeah. And that's a compliment.
Yes, absolutely. She was a very bright light.
She is. Yeah. She is one of the brightest lights, I would say.
You know, it's sort of interesting, though, because I was a psychotherapist, and I worked in the counseling and student health centers at Southern Oregon University, and I had encountered little pieces of Donna's work as she taught small classes informally in the old pink church that she also lived in. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't really studied with her. I knew her husband, David, and I was in a group with David, consultation group. And my school, Southern Oregon University, sent me to one of the, I think it was actually the first training they did together, put together before the book came out, Energy Medicine for Mental Health Professionals. So my job sent me, I went, it was a day of just total experiential exercises, and I felt better and better and better, and I was hooked.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that has changed your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Put me on a very different path.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah. So you read a holistic medical journal by Stephen Vasquez, and it opened up a completely new way of treating clients that had psychological issues where other modalities were not affected.
Absolutely.
So what is emotional transformation therapy?
Well, you said, I think, some of the words that really describe it earlier. It is a system of psychotherapy technically, but it really goes so far beyond that. It really affects the body in a very healing way. As you said, it really creates physical healing changes in the brain that, of course, change behavior and relationships and people's lives really pretty completely. And it works far more rapidly and gently and completely than anything I have encountered, and I have looked. I've spent 30 years really kind of looking at things and seeing what worked and trying to incorporate what did work the best.
So how does it set apart from other relatively new and popular therapies like EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, or EMDR?
Okay. In a few key ways, ETT, Emotional Transformation Therapy, has really two primary aspects. One is light itself as wavelengths of color. The other is a skilled and compassionate facilitator who bases responses to the client in attachment theory.
Okay, so tell us more about attachment theory.
Okay, that is a relatively new and proven body of work in psychotherapy that looks at the attachment of the infant and young child to their primary caregiver. It's interpersonal neurobiology as very, very impactful in how the brain physically develops, in how people later regulate emotion. They regulate their emotion in patterns that really resemble the relationship they had with their first caregiver, and in how they later develop relationships with other adults.
Oh, so, that's so interesting.
Isn't it? It's fascinating. And it primarily originally takes place through the eyes. You know, the infant is constantly tracking, usually the mother, with their eyes, and a lot is based on mutual gaze, communication through mutual gaze through the eyes. And also, the brain develops and regulates based on how the caregiver responds to the young child in a variety of ways, and I'll just list them for you.
Okay.
One is the caregiver cooperating
you know, with the child, having mm-hmm. that attitude of cooperation rather than competition or dominance, warmth, you know, positive regard, love for the child, involvement in the child's activities and life, and something called interactional synchrony. Part of that is the parent or caregiver regulates the child's emotions in a good way and also repairs any conflict or dysregulation between the parent and the child in a really good way that promotes security, the accessibility of the caregiver as the child needs them, and a real sensitive responsiveness to who the child is and what the child brings to the table.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a tall order, isn't it?
Wow, yeah. I mean, that's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, yeah. So, you know, the good enough parent, there'll be a lot of that. And then we have what's called secure attachment, where the person really regulates their own emotions pretty well. And it's interesting, in the Eden Energy medicine world, one of our big goals is resilience in the face of stress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read you a quote by Greenspan. The ultimate indicator of secure attachment is resilience in the face of stress.
Mm.
And so people can really flow with what life hands them.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about. It's not necessarily what happens to us, but how we respond to that.
Exactly.
Right. That's really key on how, you know, how we move forward.
Right. So when people don't have secure attachment, they create, you know, an attachment dysfunction. And there are 11 primary non-secure attachment patterns. I'll give you a couple of examples. One is avoidant attachment. That's a really common one where the parent gets angry at the child's needs. They can be rigid about it. They don't respond in a good way. They're not real affectionate. They kind of tend to avoid cuddling. And they can be kind of rejecting of the child when the child really goes to them looking for nurturing or closeness or attention. So, and that kind of child learns to just avoid. You know, they don't get their needs met when they approach, so they tend to avoid. And the way they then regulate emotion is by avoiding their emotions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they avoid.
So then they don't really know how to share emotionally.
Right.
They never learn that, yeah.
Right. And they don't know how to process their own emotions.
Right.
Feel them at an appropriate level and then process them to completion and let them go. They just avoid them. So you can imagine that can create a whole host of problems. It can create psychosomatic illness. It creates relationship problems when people avoid their own emotions and can't be close to another. It can create some real kind of sense of emptiness and dullness within the person because they don't have that rich inner emotional landscape present.
Interesting. Wow. I can think of some people that it's making sense now. Okay. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay. So let's talk about color and light.
Okay.
So in ETT, you use color and light to help change the brain. And, you know, that just seems like amazing to me. So how does that change your brain? Okay. I'm sorry. We have to break for a commercial and we'll be right back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Why do people behave the way they do? The study of human behavior is one of the most interesting facets of life. Human behavior gets played out in a limitless number of ways. Now, there's a radio program that explains the why and the how of what we do. Human Behavior, What a Trip, is hosted by Dr. Jonathan Brower and will include interesting guests as well as call interaction from people like you. Let's have fun with this together. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential?
There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action, to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you're looking for answers and solutions, you don't have to look to expensive treatments, consultations, and methods. All you have to do is listen to your connections. Every week, the Dr. Melanie Show will teach you how to do just that. Dr. Melanie Barton will share her gifts and talents and teach you to do the same. And in doing so, find the solutions to the issues in your life that you truly need. You'll learn about holistic and practical health in six key areas. Discover the Dr. Melanie Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we are talking to Sarah Owen about emotional transformation therapy. And I was just asking her, how do color and light affect the brain and our physiology?
Okay, so we live in a world of color. Most of it we don't look at very long, and it's not a very intense saturation. But we have photosensitive or light-sensitive cells in our eyes that actually convert light or color, which is specific wavelengths of light, into electromagnetic neural impulses. And those travel through the optic nerve along, and there's a whole lot of brain neurophysiology that describes this, that well-documented, really complex circuits in the brain and in the nervous system. And interestingly, specific wavelengths of light impact, or colors impact, different areas of the brain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they impact different areas for different reasons, I guess. Or,
correct. And,
yeah.
Yeah. As an example, the color red, which is wavelength, I think around 300 to 450, something like that, really impacts the basal ganglia. And the basal ganglia are complex. They have various components, but the basal ganglia is highly involved in anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the tossy, turny kind of sleeplessness that a lot of people experience. So a use of red is to have somebody gaze at red. Either it can be as simple as a piece of red construction paper,
mm-hmm.
that for 10 minutes, or we have something called the Chroma Pulse 2, a light machine. That color, that wavelength coming through the eyes really impacts the neural circuits in the brain and the nervous system, particularly the basal ganglia, and mediates the anxiety response and that sleeplessness response.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you would look at red to be sleepless or to
no.
protect against sleeplessness?
Yes. Yes. I have a great example. Somebody in my practice had been tossing and turning, not getting deep non-REM delta wave sleep for a couple months, probably getting up exhausted. And she was pretty much at the point of non-functioning. One session where she looked at red, a specific wavelength, for 20 minutes maybe, and we have a flicker rate that can be used. It's often not, but it was in the case of a specific sleep pattern, delta, really slow brain wave.
And she had a great night's sleep and woke up refreshed instead of exhausted.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That just seems amazing.
Yeah. Hence the changing the brain at the speed of light.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it can be remarkably fast.
So you must know when somebody, a client comes in and they have a certain situation like this sleeplessness or insomnia, and you know, okay, you'd use red, and you use this specific a piece of equipment to shine the lights in their eyes, I guess, right?
It's not necessarily that simple.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this person and we focused on just that one aspect, but really you take a history of the person and you find out more what's going on in life in general and what their goals are and any kind of trauma in their background before deciding on a real specific thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I guess what I was really getting at, there's specific colors for specific,
there are.
Clinical symptoms or reasons for them to come to see you, I guess.
Yes, yes. And given the symptoms they present, you can kind of hone in on a specific color.
Okay, and we talked about anxiety being in the basal ganglia, but it's also in the amygdala, right?
Correct, yeah.
So would yeah, okay.
Yeah, the amygdala is really involved in virtually all emotional reactions.
Interesting, yeah, Okay, so let's talk about how these lights then, or the colors and lights, affect resonance or brain waves being out of resonance.
Okay. So let's see. When somebody has brain waves out of resonance, they're going to have a symptom. So it might be easier to talk about a specific symptom.
Okay.
So let me choose one of my case studies. There's so many good ones. I had a woman, and probably a lot of people can relate to this one. She just turned 40, beautiful woman, a little heavier than she wanted to be, definite junk food addiction. And I think that's not an uncommon one in the culture. And her goal, she's going on a vacation to a tropical island, was going to be on the beach in a bikini. She wanted to kick the Cheetos addiction. That was her junk food of choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I put her on what we call the spectral chart. It's like a rainbow. And it has 7 colors, red at the bottom, then orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, or deep blue, violet at the top. And colors are wavelengths. She viewed the different colors in a certain protocol and had a different response while focusing on the Cheetos, different response to each color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So green, one wavelength of light, she felt like, wow, I love them. They're all about self-comfort. Then we went to red. There's a certain order we use. Another wavelength of light that affects the brain. And her response was, wow, yucky. I feel really kind of yucky in my body physically thinking about these Cheetos, looking at red. On purple, it was, they taste really good. Next, on orange, she thought, I could resist them, I think. Indigo, and indigo, the particular wavelength of indigo affects the brain in a way where people get clarity. It can bring things to clarity. It can organize thought among some other things. And what came up for her is, wow, it was like this literal flash of light. This is one of the few things I did with my mother growing up where we felt connected.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she had this memory of sitting in the living room with her mom, you know, with the bag of Cheetos, eating them together and really feeling pleasure. And she did not have secure attachment. And this was really the one place where she felt that. She felt attached to her mother through this.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And with that insight, she was really able to go, huh, I have no desire. You know, we process some more emotion. She had some sadness come up, which is the wavelength of green. So we went back to green, processed sadness, where there was also comfort, nurturance. That's a green issue. And she had absolutely no desire for Cheetos. And this had been a lifelong, always had a bag in the house, ate them every day. And I saw her a couple weeks later. One fabulous result of ETT is it does physically change the brain, so people get long-lasting results. I saw her later, and I had to bring up the Cheetos. How's it going with the Cheetos? Have you been eating them? She was like, huh, no. I think I might have some in the house still, but I haven't wanted them, haven't eaten them.
Interesting. Wow. So would anybody that did not have secure attachment, I guess with a parent, would their brainwaves be out of residence then?
You know, I think we all probably have some brainwaves.
Out of residence?
Of the brain, yeah, that did not develop optimally, and yeah.
Well, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really makes sense. So we all need this therapy, right?
Well, another feature of this therapy is it actually brings up hidden resources for people, as well as, you know, helping resolve symptoms that are not wanted. It really does kind of, I think, inspire the brain and the nervous system to evolve. You know, to access the resources that we haven't necessarily known about or developed. And it can really open people to spiritual dimensions also.
Interesting. So let's talk about that a little bit more. So if you get the brain waves in resonance, then they're able to connect to different areas of the brain maybe, and for that evolvement?
Well, ETT helps areas of the brain heal that have actually physically not developed, either due to, you know, attachment dysfunction and or trauma, which is a type of attachment dysfunction. So it actually physically helps the brain change, as revealed by SPECT scans. It also can stimulate areas of the brain that relate to spiritual connection and experiences of oneness and unity consciousness.
Interesting. Wow.
You know, and all of the spiritual traditions really talk about light.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. And color, meaning color, light and color, right?
I don't know that the they use color, a lot of the traditions, particularly in ritual, but light is really talked about. You know, we see the light, people with near-death experiences really.
I see what you mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We talk about enlightenment, and I know Stephen Vasquez, the creator of this amazing work, did some research and said every spiritual tradition really talks about light as part of spirituality, or as, you know, an underlying spiritual force.
Wow. Okay, so I know we brought up the attachment theory. Do you have anything else to add to that, or do you really want to explain why it's so important, I guess, in this framework?
It's important in a couple of ways. One, the facilitator interacts with the different attachment patterns in a way to promote secure attachment. Like with the avoidant that I talked about earlier, the facilitator is very involved in validating any kind of emotion that the client brings up, in really listening actively, you know, really being there for the client and bringing out their experience and validating and nurturing them. So there's that piece. Also, the light, the color and the light, is another source of attachment. It's a force outside the person that has an interactive quality with mm-hmm. that stimulates the attachment pattern. And light can really be perceived as nurturing, you know, as having caregiver qualities.
Okay.
As being nurturing, as being warm, as being safe, as holding the person in a way. So there are those two ways that the attachment pattern plays in, one with the facilitator helping the person based on their attachment strategy in terms of response, and also helping them to regulate emotion, because emotion is regulated by attachment pattern, and also the color and light helps to regulate that as the person attaches to the light.
So that could override an issue with an insecure attachment to a parent. So that's what you're saying. It just overrides that. It changes the resonance of the brain waves. It's able to connect to different areas of the brain for further development or for further evolution. Wow.
Yeah. Actually, the light and the facilitator's responses, the relationships between the light and the client and the facilitator and the client really change the attachment pattern.
Wow.
Yeah. And so much is based on attachment pattern.
Okay, so let's talk more about, maybe we should get into some examples or case studies.
Okay. Well, there's one woman that I have worked with for a while who is dancing with stage 4 cancer. And she's possibly listening right now. She gave me permission to talk about this. We worked today again. I did a lot of energy medicine, Eden energy medicine with her for a while, I think some of which was helpful, and then it really ceased to be helpful. And she's tried a lot of different things and has really felt stuck in all the modalities that she's tried, like nothing has really worked for her. Or it's worked for a little while and then has ceased to work. So today I put her on the spectral chart, which I described earlier, that rainbow chart of all the colors, supersaturated colors, because she came in a real panic, overwhelm state.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a different attachment strategy. It's called resistant ambivalent. And the emotional characteristic of that one is people get into high intensity distress and they stay there. And they tend to bring in then everything that's distressing them and get more overwhelmed. So that's hers. With those folks, you want to pick one thing and work on that one thing. So we picked just the physical and emotional sensations of panic and overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked that spectral chart according to the color protocol. And one thing that happens, the chart's very interesting. People's perceptions of the colors will distort when they're having an emotional distortion. Like on this one, on green, which is the color of sadness, also at the other end of nurturance, emotional nurturance, connection, love, it faded. And she talked about, well, there's deep sadness always there, but it wasn't present. There was no sadness there right then, and the color faded. And one way that the chart can be used to help the brain heal and to help emotional regulation is to visually have the client bring back the color. They can close their eyes, focus in the here and now, what they had for breakfast, open their eyes, look at the color again, and it's there. And that really helps regulate the brain.
Wow. So the brain just kind of suppresses it or eliminates it?
The feeling?
When it fades away, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, the perception of the color is not there. It's a fascinating process.
Wow. Okay, so then they're able to visualize it and bring it back.
They're able to go away from it for a moment, get back in present time, with questions like, what'd you have for breakfast? What are you wearing? Then open their eyes and look, and it's there again. Because it's
wow.
a
It's a form of dissociation. It's leaving present time, dissociating from what's going on at the moment.
Interesting. Wow.
So there are various colors. On yellow, this was an interesting one. Yellow is about control and the kind of helplessness, hopelessness versus hope and empowerment dimension.
Mm-hmm.
With yellow, she felt suspended and manipulated by this dynamic of panic and overwhelm and trapped in it and paralyzed. So hopelessness came up, helplessness. The color brought up those issues.
Wow.
Yeah. The way I explain that to people is like color speaks the language of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
The wavelengths and the neural impulses and the, so it brings up the issues that are associated with that. And then ultimately it helps resolve them. So that one came up on yellow and I had her stay there for a while and just explore that. And for her, that was a lot of childhood history.
Mm-hmm.
Manipulated, being trapped, being paralyzed. Also a prevalent dynamic in her 30-year former marriage. So you can see the attachment there.
Mm-hmm.
In those features, manipulation, paralyzed. The yellow brought up that attachment strategy, which was also how she felt about the panic and overwhelm.
So I was going to ask, so did it enhance the panic and overwhelm just by seeing that yellow color?
It didn't enhance the physical feelings in her body. It just brought up, that's how she felt.
Okay. She connected to it.
Right. Yeah. Mm. She connected to, yeah, that's what it brought up for her. And those are common dynamics in her life. So we went on to some of the other colors, and the next one that was really interesting was orange. And orange is the color of the self. It also can tend to bring up autobiographical memory, which wasn't necessarily a feature here. And here she felt it wanting to emerge, like the slightest trigger would bring it up, but it wasn't there, and the orange faded. She really could not hold the orange at all.
Mm.
She said, I wrote it down, quote, it's just not there. And we really worked with her bringing back the orange. And that was several rounds before she could get some orange to be there. And stopped the session there and talked about it afterwards. And she was just so very insightful. She turned around and we've had a fair amount of eye contact. She said, you know, I can't look at you because I feel like I'm not here. I don't have the right to be here.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was such a, it was, she was conceived out of wedlock, and that was a real feature of her parents not really wanting her to be there.
Wow, the attachment.
Yeah, the attachment again, and that issue of self being here, and that's the issue she's really struggling with now. And it felt like a huge milestone.
Wow, I can tell. I mean, I can just sense that. That's really big.
It's really big, the right to be to overcome a life-threatening disease.
Mm. Okay, I'm sorry, we have to break for a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Real Life Solutions, Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you have a child in your life with autism, there may be a lot of questions that you need answered. What if your child has recently been diagnosed? Or maybe you have a question about treatment that your child is currently undergoing. For answers to these and more, tune into Autism Spectrum Radio. Our guests will include parents and experts to discuss current experiences, treatments, and breakthroughs for those living with autism. Listen every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
In your family, what is most important to you? Is it health? Relationships? How about getting along better with your kids or your parents? Maybe it has to do with losing pounds or gaining financially. Whatever the problems you face in your family, you'll want to tune in to Family First with your host, author, and speaker, Randy Rolfe. Since 1985, Randy has become the foremost expert on matters concerning the family, and she can help you. Family First airs live every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
Hi, you're back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we're talking to Sarah Owen, who is an expert in emotional transformation therapy. Okay, Sarah, you were starting to, well, you gave a really great example of a case that you actually had today that's wonderful, and the major breakthrough that the woman had, and hopefully that will have a major impact on her, the course of her disease, and I really wish her well. And so you want to talk about any other cases, interesting cases like this?
I want to say, I just want to make a point about that spectral chart that we just talked about. It's very useful for bringing up issues that are hidden in a way. They're kind of below consciousness. Like she really, and a lot of us don't know, you know, what's the driving force here? I feel all this panic and overwhelm, or I have this pattern. You know, the Cheetos was another spectral chart issue where people don't know where it comes from. Because the spectral chart is very intense color, and it really has a lot of depth, and it tends to bring up inner awareness. So it's useful for that.
And that's so key, because you can't address anything if you don't know. Right. All that stuff that's in our subconscious, if we can't handle, we can't really proceed or move out of it until we know it.
I think that's a lot of what holds people back. In HET, we call it implicit memory. You know, it's there. It's in the brain and the nervous system, or it's in the body. And, you know, lots of times we do remember it, but we don't make that association. And we don't have that link between the memory and the emotional charge that it still holds.
Mm.
And what's happening in our lives current day. So ETT is wonderful for accessing that and processing the emotions quickly and completely. So those implicit patterns don't control us anymore.
Right.
So I'll give you another example with another tool. There are four tools in ETT. And this next one is called the peripheral eye stimulation goggles. And this is a very strange device. They look like a pair of ski goggles. And in fact, I think they are made from ski goggles or electrician's goggles. And they have a disc inserted, a black disc. They're painted black. And the only light that enters the eyes are through these two little slits cut in the discs that are about half an inch wide. So the person wearing them is in darkness except for these two little windows of light. And these windows are at the periphery. So the person isn't looking out the windows. They're in these dark goggles and they're looking straight ahead, and light is entering the eye through the periphery. And what that does then is light goes through the optic nerve and it hits the brain at different angles and different areas of the brain, and it illuminates different neural networks in the brain. And depending on which neural network is illuminated, different things are accessed, different memories, different emotions, sometimes positive resource states.
Interesting.
And the goggles are great for reducing overwhelming active emotions. They can be really good for reducing physical pain also. They tend to reduce symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
One, because they really minimize light and the person is in relative darkness. Two, because we can light up the particular neural networks that we want to access. So one of my favorite cases with the goggles was an 82-year-old woman who was referred to me by her daughter, who had been a client of mine, after this client's sister, her mother's other daughter, had died of cancer in the mother's arms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the mother had not been to therapy, you know, was not really interested in seeking therapy, but she was having this repeating scene, complete with sounds, smells, the feel of her daughter's body, you know, dying in her arms. And she wasn't sleeping. It was kind of a post-traumatic stress, you know, looping in the brain. And she was just distraught. So we put the goggles on her and the intensity went down some. And often the intensity goes down initially. Then we have four main positions that we can have light enter. We use the whole 12 o'clock around the clock positions.
But
we use 3 o'clock with light entering at 3 as the person looks straight ahead, then at 9, then at 6, and then at 12. And as we went to the 3 o'clock position, she felt less upset, but she was really aware of the smells and just the physical weight of her daughter slumping as her dying process happened. Then we went to 9 o'clock and her sadness intensified. So we quickly moved through that position, went to 6 o'clock. She felt calmer, but angry that she'd lost her child, younger daughter. And then at the 12 o'clock position with light entering from above, she felt calm and like she could let it go.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that really just took a few minutes, it sounds like.
Really just took a few minutes. Yeah.
And she's still good, right? I mean, she still sort of let it go and she can sleep through the night and she's processed.
Again, because she was really not interested in therapy, but I did see her other daughter. And I asked, how's your mom doing? And she said, you know, she's doing fine. She has some residual sadness, but it's nothing like it was. And she had been able to go through her daughter's possessions then, you know, and start some away and deciding what to keep. So she was moving on in her life. Yeah.
She was accepting.
She was accepting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not stuck in that horrible loop of pain.
Yeah. Emotional pain. Okay. What about, you have any more examples? I think these are so interesting.
I do too. And that's what I love. I love about ETT. I love seeing people move through these really excruciating life events in a single session, sometimes in minutes, and be free. One of my clients had a suicide attempt, serious suicide attempt. She took pills and alcohol, drove to a remote park, locked her car, you know, and was preparing to die, and I guess was in that process. Someone came to the park, and the police came and broke the window of the car, and she had, and then she was in the hospital, you know, having her stomach pumped. There was some question, was she going to die or not? She had a lot of humiliation about that with her family. So she had numerous emotions. She had just the pain that preceded, you know, that drove her to that. She had the horror and the physical after effects of being found and being in the hospital. And then she had the humiliation and shame with her family. And again, it was a goggles process. And we worked through the different emotions with light entering the eyes at different positions. And she went through them all and felt really free. And her comment at the end was, wow, I feel like this thing that I've been carrying on my shoulders and in my body is finally released. And I feel differently about my family now. Like I can kind of hold my head up and go on in these relationships without all this shame and guilt about what I did.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's just, let me think. It's changing those brain waves.
It is. Yeah.
It's just changing those brain waves.
Hmm. Yeah. It's light going through the eyes and entering the brain, stimulating different things, different emotions, different memories in the brain, and then processing them.
And so let's sort of compare that to emotional freedom technique, because I think more people know about the tapping. So we're tapping on different meridian endpoints, let's say, and that will change the energetic response to fear or phobias, let's say. And so the light is actually doing something similar, but even deeper, probably.
Yeah, I think it's much deeper.
Yeah.
My understanding of emotional freedom technique is it's sort of the impulse, you know, the tapping sends an impulse to the brain and the nervous system, and it can release, you know, stuck energies, stuck patterns, and go on. But there's a quote by the Amen Brain Institute. After looking at the images of brains, the physical changes in brains, pre and post ETT, and this has to do with EMDR, which is a highly researched kind of state-of-the-art trauma therapy, that ETT was like EMDR and LSD in terms of just the rapidity with which the physical brain changed and healed.
Wow. You know, we have to close. We have a lot more to talk about, so maybe we'll have to get you back on the show and we can talk more about this fascinating subject and the impactful results that you've found with emotional transformation therapy. Anybody that wants to learn more about it, well, Sarah's in Dallas, Texas, and I'm sure she'd be glad to have a session with you and help you through whatever issues you've got. And her website is www.energymattersnow. I want to just send everyone best wishes for 2013. I hope everybody's heart's desires come true for them. And I hope that whatever we're doing here helps you to live more radiantly. You can find out more about what I'm doing at www.energizeforjoy.com. And please like the Facebook page, Energy Medicine Optimal Health. Happy New Year, everybody. Live radiantly.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in.